Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Take it away, Danielle.
Welcome to a podcast about Big Brother, Survivor, and any other pop culture tidbits that cross our plates. I'm Danielle.
I'm Brett.
And here we are with some really fun things to talk about this week. I think we're going to, should we start by talking about Survivor?
I mean, I can't imagine this conversation is going to go longer than 17 minutes. So why not?
Okay. Oh, no, it's not. I thought you were going to say 7 minutes. Okay. I only have one. So I texted Brett after watching the episode this week. I texted him like, oh, my God, have you seen Survivor yet? And he hadn't. So I couldn't tell him. I really had to save what I have to say for the podcast. So he's going to be hearing it for the first time, and everyone else is going to be hearing it for the first time. It's just like the moment I thought was like so shocking. And it's just about one person. I don't think we're talking about the same person. Well,
I don't know what you're,
I have to look up his name.
Okay. Is it Randon?
It is not Randon.
Okay. So I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, you have no clue. But this is something, I need pictures. First, talk about Randon.
Randon.
Randon got medvacked. Like, so what? That happens every week.
Well, we spent last week, I thought it was a good episode last week, and we were like the who's and the what's of Survivor, mainly the who's, because we thought the season was a bunch of who's from Whoville. And we're like, wow, Randon is literally like the most invisible person we've ever seen. He, of course, shot to the top of my winner prediction rankings, because I personally believe that they, you know, sometimes they try to like hide who the actual stars of the season are at first, or maybe give a little bit more play to some of the people who are more featured at the beginning, but will be going home eventually to try and balance out the screen time of someone who's definitely going to be there all the way to the end. Randon's there. He's secret. His only friend is Venus, the one that everybody hates.
Yeah.
And we're like, who is Randon? Do they even say his name? Can we give him anything? And it's like two episodes in, it's like, yeah, Randon needs spinal surgery. Goodbye.
And it's from like, Randon, sleeping on bamboo.
Randon, we didn't know you. We hardly knew ye. Bye-bye.
I mean, I'm hoping I have not read up. I don't know. I'm sure the internet knows at this point whether it ended up. Because Jeff was like, it could be a life-altering surgery, or it could be nothing. But like, out of an abundance of caution, we're pulling you from the game. Because it was like his hand was numb because he slept on it funny. This is the type of thing us 30-year-olds have to deal with.
Oh, yeah. I have neck problems.
It was from sleeping on bamboo.
I played one season of tackle football in high school. If you can believe it, guys, I wasn't very good. And I just like have neck problems for life. One of my coworkers played Division III football, meaning this is in college. So it's like, cool, you're playing college football. Like a college wants you to play college football for them. But make no mistake, there is no way you're ever going to play football professionally. That's what D3 is like, this. Community colleges and stuff. Anyways, I didn't say my friend goes. Anyways, he's got back problems for life. He's younger than me. You can't fuck with this shit. I need like three pillows. How many pillows are you, Danielle?
We have four on the bed, two each,
okay.
And we have one decorative one that my husband seems to think is not decorative and that he uses.
I've got graduated to like three pillows.
Uh-huh.
Just for my neck and my back support and stuff. I just need it. Two isn't enough.
You should get a pregnancy pillow.
I have four pillows. I actually have five pillows now. But I sleep alone most nights. Most nights. And yeah, sometimes the fourth one turns into a pregnancy pillow.
Yeah, I loved my pregnancy pillow. I actually wish I didn't throw it away because it's so good for your hips. And I love to sleep on, I have no preference. I'll sleep on my back. I'll sleep on my belly. I'll sleep on my side, either side, whichever. As long as I'm asleep, I'm good.
Belly is like nightmare situation. That's like.
No, I love it. I love it.
What's that show? Like the Dahmer show? The Dahmer show where Dahmer's like Jeffrey forcing Dahmer. Someone to like, at the meme where he's like pointing the gun at someone and like pouring a knife at someone to make them watch TV.
Yeah.
That's you.
Sleep on your belly. I missed it because you're not allowed to do it when you're pregnant. And it was horrible. But as soon as she shot out, I was ready to go back sleeping on the belly.
You're not allowed to use, you're not allowed to sleep on your belly. Sorry. I thought you were like saying that you couldn't use the pregnancy pillow when you're pregnant. I was like,
no.
Oh my God. Have we been living a lie?
No, and I have like the bed. I have a huge king size bed. I got a new mattress this year. Oh. It's just firm enough. And it's just like, you know, we take our sleep so seriously. We cannot sleep on bamboo.
Yes, this is theoretically inside of the Survivor conversation. Did you get it from a DTC company?
I sure did.
Do you want to say what name? Or you can tell me later. No free
I
mean, ads,
it's not Casper. Like, it's a Canadian one. I forget what it's called, honestly. It's a Canadian one because you can't get anything.
Whatever. I don't know.
No, probably. It's probably called like Maple Ridge Pillow or Maple Ridge Mattress, whatever. You can't get like, well, some of them you probably can, but I was like, I'm not paying that shipping.
Oh my God.
I'm supporting my Canadian entrepreneurs, small businesses.
BlackBerry.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
Okay, wait.
Yeah, sorry. Talk. What? Whatever.
Well, so yeah, he had to go. I felt bad because I also felt bad that the only episode he was on where I talked about him, I like made fun of his name, essentially. I was like, he's random. But I do think that it's possible for him to have a Bruce-esque return where he comes back next season and someone calls him out immediately.
Emily Flippin.
And then we have a complicated relationship with him because we're like, we feel bad that you got kicked off last time, but also like maybe he sucks. So we'll see.
You know what's going to happen? Survivor 47 is going to start. And Jeff's going to be like, you might see a familiar face here. And everyone's going to look around. And Randon's going to be there. And everyone's going to be like, I don't know. I don't see anybody. I don't remember anybody. Bruce made more of an impact physically, bashing his head onto that piece of wood in the first 4 seconds of Survivor 44 than Randon made in 3 full episodes. Sorry, Randon, whatever.
Sorry, I hope he's feeling better. I hope he's doing better. You know, we do take sleeps and back injury. Or I don't
if
know,
you need to get like
slash back injury,
a $30,000 spinal surgery as a result of being on Survivor, who pays for that?
That's such a good question. I was wondering that too, because they're like, we're going to get you out of here and you can go have the MRI. I was like, does Survivor play for the MRI?
Fijian MRI.
Does he? I don't know. How does the healthcare system in Fiji work? I don't know. These are questions we should probably have the answer to.
Yeah, if you can't like lie down and you're like half paralyzed, I wouldn't recommend getting on an 18-hour flight from Fiji back to America. He lives in Florida. Jeez.
Oh my God. Yeah. Nightmare. Sorry to him. That wasn't the moment though. That was so explosive.
Yeah.
And I know Matt Mesa in the chat says the suspense is killing me. And I think we drew it out extra long, Matt Mesa, that it would kill you even more. But so, okay. In every Survivor episode, each person gets their own little character package that explains like who they are back home, hardship they've overcome, like something about themselves. This week, we got one about Hunter, who's blonde and has a beard. If you're like me and don't remember who he is, he's blonde and has a beard. His package was like, all my life wanted to be a doctor. I got a full ride to go to medical school. And it was just like written in the stars, I'm going to be a doctor. But then one day, for some reason, I subbed into my friend's class to teach for her. Like, can you just do that? First of all, I don't think so. I don't think you can just go be a sub for one day.
He's in Mississippi.
Okay.
Like, it's either that or the kids are like fighting alligators.
Okay.
Sorry well, then to Mississippi, like, but it's true.
And while I was in that class and teaching them, I taught them how to build challenges. And it was that moment that I decided I'm not going to become a doctor. I'm going to just build disgusting survivor challenges in my disgusting living room. They show the living room.
It was disgusting.
Speaking of Jeffrey Dahmer, it is just a dirty carpet with pieces of wood that he's painted, where in his spare time, instead of going to fucking medical school and becoming a doctor, which your country desperately needs.
Randon needs a doctor.
He's decided he wants to be a professional survivor fanboy / teacher. This is not a knock on teachers. I think being a teacher is very noble and great, but that wasn't what was it for him. What was it for him is he was like, actually, I want to teach kids how to build the maze. And I couldn't tell you what is the biggest ick I've ever gotten. I couldn't believe this. This guy had the full ride to become a doctor and he turned his back. That is so selfish. Like, he should be a doctor. To not be a doctor when you have such an opportunity, he's going to be on a plane, in a restaurant, someone's going to be choking. They're going to go, is there a doctor here? It could have been him. It could have been him. But he said, no, I'd rather build a survivor challenge in my dirty living room. Disgusting. Yeah. Shocking.
You see this? I mean, I clocked it. I remembered it. I remember the feeling of it. It didn't disturb me nearly as much as you did. You texted me, you're like, something so disgusting happens that I was like shocked. And I was like, I thought someone's like eyeball exploded.
Well, you know, like it's like kind of a trope or a cliche of women showing like men's houses or apartments before the girl moves in. And it's like always just like a mattress and like art on the walls.
Like, it's like Matthew McConaughey's apartment in True Detective season one, where he doesn't have a mirror. He just has like a piece of glass the size of a quarter. And that's his mirror.
It's not like me. All.
My apartment is wonderful. Yeah.
Pardon?
My apartment is great.
Yeah, no, Brad's apartment is very nice.
Oh, yeah, Daniel's been there.
Very furnished. You can see art on the wall behind him. But his house was like that. But in addition to that, there was no furniture in the living room except for big blocks of Survivor, like hobby challenge pieces that he was going to put together. I mean, that walking into that as a woman, that is the biggest red flag. And he could have been a doctor.
I mean, do you ever have that thing where you like walk into someone's house and you're like, you just live a different life than I do?
It's a different life than I thought you lived. Like, because even like you go home to a teacher. I love teachers. I've always had crushes on teachers. If I went back to his house thinking, oh my gosh, I'm with a teacher. And then I saw the empty living room with survivor shaped blocks. And then he was like, I got a fun idea. Why don't you come back to my place? And then instead of the fun idea being like watching a movie, it's building, I don't know, a ladder.
I'm still stuck on always had crushes on teachers.
Of course.
Did you ever get a chance to act that out?
Oh my God. So there was a teacher in high school, like, I'm sure this happens. It's actually probably not a good thing.
No.
But we were like, he wants to bang all of us for sure. And when I graduated, he asked me to go, we were both in Toronto in the city, and he asked me to meet him for dinner. And I was like, yeah, totally. But then he bailed. He was like, actually, I can't. Maybe he had a change of, you know.
Yeah, maybe he was drunk.
Or maybe I wasn't hot enough for him anymore. So I wasn't a student.
No, we had a guy who was like, coaching the soccer team, and then he sort of like graduated to teacher, and he was just like young and hot. Mm. And it's like,
yeah,
dude, you're like 26 and hot and like hanging out with a bunch of 18-year-old girls all day. Like,
oh, but you know, it's like
it's different when you're a man.
It starts when they're like 16.
Yeah, no, but it's different. I don't know. I haven't really had crushes on, I mean, all my teachers were matronly.
So
we love moms.
That's
here.
A type.
We love moms.
Yeah. Yeah. Take it back. But yeah, I just honestly, everything else that happened in the episode really was second to me, just because I couldn't believe what they showed. And that they thought this was a positive thing to show. Like, his passion for Survivor.
You know,
was
but
so
this
good.
Is every year now someone's like, I 3D printed this puzzle.
Yeah.
You live Survivor every day, bro. Doing puzzles in the woods in Mississippi. Why do you need to come here?
He clearly lacks the awareness
He's going to go far. He's going to go very far in this game. I say.
Yeah, he is, because he's like big boy. He's like the muscle, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
yeah, he is. I'm just saying, it was a red flag, ladies. Red flag.
You know who believes it was a red flag?
Who?
My girl. She's my Venus. She's my fire. Venus is like, I don't trust him. I don't trust him. He's so capable. Everybody loves him. That means we should vote his ass out. And then she goes, I think she tells Randon, because that's like her only friend. And Randon's like, I don't know, man. I kind of like Hunter. He's kind of good at stuff. What's like, what's your perspective on this? Like, where'd you get?
Of course
where'd,
he is.
Where'd you get this idea? And she said, Queen, she said, my perspective is I'm not blind.
You know what? She's so right.
She's great.
She's like that X-Men. Her hand grazed his, and she got a vision. Yeah,
no,
she got a vision of his empty living room, carpeted living room.
That's a different X-Men then. I don't know.
Dirty but with sawdust on the floor.
She's got an attitude. She's welcome on Hey Julie anytime.
Yeah, I love Venus, and she's Canadian. I'm pretty sure she's our Canadian queen.
She's our Canadian queen. Yeah. We got to talk about our guy,
Banu.
We got to talk about Banu.
Yeah, I did. I mean, this was very amusing. Go ahead.
I don't even know, like, what to say. This guy's like, I was nervous because I also really like Kenzie too. I was like, I want both of these people in the game a lot. I can't stand to see one of them go. Banu is crying. He doesn't quite understand. This guy loves watching Survivor, and he's like playing it, and he just thinks that anyone who isn't him is like a brilliant mastermind, which in comparison to him is possibly true because he is the opposite of a mastermind. He's crying over everything. He thinks Kenzie is a mermaid dragon. He's screaming the words mermaid dragon. He needs a hug. He's crying. He just tells everybody, like, he's exactly what the other people on the Purple Tribe think. They're like, oh no, he's going on the journey. He's just going to go to them and just tell them what assholes we are. And that's exactly what he does. He's like obsessed with this idea. He's like, I don't want $1 million. I want 1 million hearts. He wants 1 million
it's
hearts.
It's very...
something
55 burgers, 55 fries, 1 million hearts. He reminds me so much of that part in Mean Girls where the girl, like the like loser girl, is standing up in front of everyone and being like, I wish I could build a cake full of rainbows and share it with everyone and we could all just get along. Like, that's what that reminded me of. I don't think he's a loser. I think he's genuinely like a very sweet guy. He's got a great attitude. But I was like, it's a bit much. It's a bit much. You don't want $1 million? Okay, give it to me.
And then I loved Q, who is like, I'm like, I don't know what the hell this guy's doing. He's like, I'm going to vote myself out tonight to save you. Oh, my gosh.
But none of it actually came to none of the fun, like what could have happened, ended up needing to happen because Randon had to leave. He flew out with Dr. Will.
Are we done with Survivor? Because I have a question to get us out of Survivor.
Yeah.
You mentioned Mean Girls. Did you see the new Mean Girls?
No, I didn't see it, but it's a hit.
Yeah, is it?
It is. It like made more than $100 million.
Oh,
and
shit?
That was such a question to me. I was like, do people want this? Like, I really couldn't tell because I could see, I never would bet against Tina Fey. I think she's always like going to deliver something funny and interesting. But I was also like, but people don't like musicals. But then again, Wonka.
They didn't say it was a musical.
Did great. Right. They both did great. Wonka is a hit.
We have still not watched the new Wonka movie. It's 72 mil domestic, 104 total worldwide.
See, more than
100. I know Renee Rapp like hosted SNL coming off of it.
Yeah, Renee is a big Gen Z star.
I don't understand. I mean, good for her.
I do. I think she's funny. I like her.
I don't know. I haven't seen her or anything. I mean, she's beautiful. And if she
made waves because She, yeah, people, I haven't really seen, but people say she can sing. She made waves because she had like the joke where she said she was ageist because she hates millennials. She hates old millennials and people were mad. But I was like, this is funny. She's making a joke and millennials are just so bitter. They couldn't take the fact that like this Gen Z was laughing at them. And I just thought, I liked her. I like her sass.
Okay. I just haven't seen, like, I know what she looks like. I just haven't seen, like, I literally never seen her in anything.
I haven't either, except for that interview clip, okay. And a couple others. I think she's funny.
Well, shall we talk about the movies, the pictures?
Yes, let's go to the pictures. Let's go to the films.
I think this is a good way of getting in there. Last Sunday night, there was actually an awards ceremony that honored the best in movie making artistry. Did you watch the Oscars?
I watched because it started at 7 p.m., which is the most genius thing that anyone, whoever decided that gets raised.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that shit started at 4 p.m. On the West Coast. 7:30. I was watching. I was like, I eat dinner early because I'm old. But like,
yeah,
I don't have to eat dinner until this is over. This thing was over at 7:30 West Coast time. Amazing. Because it's like, it's usually not ending till like 8:30, 9 o'clock West Coast time. And I'm tired. And I'm like, I don't know how anyone west of like Phoenix, Arizona, or east of like Phoenix, Arizona watches this and stays up to watch it.
I stayed up almost to the end. I went to bed right before Best Picture.
I have notes though. Oh, you missed Best Picture. I'm going to go back to
the front. Well, I knew Oppenheimer was going to win, so I didn't care.
Did you watch the clip of Al Pacino announcing it?
No, I haven't seen it.
I would highly recommend it. I would highly recommend it because that's my one note. Is like
I've heard the, yeah.
Maybe let's not get a fucking nonagenarian like
announcing Best Picture. I actually disagree.
No, let's get someone who like can keep something going and isn't like freestyling at their granddaughter's wedding. Like that's,
no.
It's funny. It's funny, but it was just like. Christopher Nolan and his wife slash producing partner, Emma Thomas, everyone's been waiting for this, the highest honor. And he's like, I think it's up. I see Oppenheimer. Like that was like,
I love it.
I love the idea of it. If like in like a 30 Rock world of like, can we just get Hanks out there to just like say the nominees with a bit of gravitas, open the envelope with a bit of dramatic flair and timing and just announce the winner in like a hey you won sort of way instead of like
I thought this sucked
like Pacino like didn't know where the hell he was. He like didn't know what the hell he was saying. He literally even said afterwards into the mic, he's like, what's happening? People like the way he said it, nobody applauded. Like people were, you know, when you see like a play or you see like a concert and you're like, the song ended, but nobody knows the song ended or the play ended or whatever. So like everyone's kind of just sitting there in silence and they're like, do we clap now? That's what happened in the theater when a movie won Best Picture. Everyone for 4 seconds was like, do we clap now? Because he said Oppenheimer so weird that it was not clear that it had won, even though everyone knew it was going to win. They didn't play the music. Right. Everyone was confused. Can we get someone who's not 85 years old and knows where they are to just say who won Best Picture? Like, bring out Zendaya for that. She can do it.
Counterpoint, I like having someone who is so iconic be the last presenter of the night, even if they are decrepit. You know why? Because this is the Oscars. It's not Congress. So I'm actually not worried about Al Pacino messing up or making it a little bit awkward. They probably hoped to God they would have another Moonlight La La Land moment. That's what they were hoping for because the show was good. It was honestly like, I thought it was a solid show. No major flops, even though you probably think this was, I don't think this was a flop.
I thought that was a flop. But I thought one other thing was a flop.
They wanted, because they knew that like no one was going to get slapped. Ugh. So they wanted like a little suspense. They wanted a little like, look at this icon. Keep everyone on their toes. And they got it. And I prefer that.
Every year.
Because it's something people can talk about.
Every year they should have a comedian come out and talk shit about someone's wife in the room. See what happens.
Yeah. Dangle the carrot.
Hey, Brian. Someone really roided Gosling, it up. Eva Mendez. Eva who? Haven't seen her in Hollywood for years. She's a nothing. Yeah. She's yeah. right here.
Tempt it. Tempt fate. I would love it. But, I thought that you was. You know, a, they had to do, they had to make do.
Well, the issue is they put themselves in a corner with the best picture presenter. It needs to have to be someone with like a lot of Oscar wins, a lot like very famous, someone from like the kind of the truly the old guard. Because you can't yeah. have Chalamet up there doing it. You can't have John Cena doing it. But you know what? Maybe The Rock should be saying who it is. Like, I know it's like, it's like The Rock. It's like you're in the Jungle Book movie or whatever. Jungle Cruise movie. So no,
Jungle
not
Cruise.
Jungle, you know? Jungle Cruise. Getting yeah. all my Disney Jungle properties confused. They painted themselves in a corner here. And like, they're running out of people. Jack Nicholson doesn't go to these things anymore. It's like, okay, well, maybe, yeah. I don't know. Where's Cruise at? Get Cruise to do it. He's like,
yeah,
Cruise he's a showman. Get Hugh Jackman.
Cruise
Hugh
is Jackman's Mr. Movies.
Showman. Movies, popcorn, movies.
What was your other beef? What was your other thing that you thought wasn't good?
I do not know how they came with a straight fucking face. Every year, complain, have Kimmel make jokes in the middle of the show about how this shit is always running long. The shit was still 3.5 hours long.
Yes.
And for the acting nominees to have 5 whole fucking minutes of like, who fucking ever, fucking Jamie Lee Curtis being like, America Ferrera, I've been your best friend since 1993.
Oh, no, I like those.
We went
I
on
like
a camping those. Trip together. And then just describing it. What they were like in the movie.
I love that. Yeah.
Hated it. First of all,
no, we needed
show
that.
The clips. We want to see the clips. Every other category gets the clips. The one, it's like, cool, I'm a nerd, so I like the sound editing clips. I'm a nerd. I like the visual effects clips. I like the costume design clips. I like the time lapse of Bradley Cooper getting his old man maestro makeup on. I like the like under the line clips, but come on, for posterity's sake, so I can watch it on TikTok 7 years from now, I gotta see the clip of Bradley Cooper acting, screaming, "Who abandoned Snoopy in the vestibule?"
I'm reining it in.
I'm reining it in. They did show that clip during the movie. They did show that. I think for best screenplay, that I did show that clip of Maestro, of him saying, "You know, I slept with your parents, right?" I'm reining it in. Okay. You got to show the acting clips. People haven't seen this movie. People still haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon, probably because they're afraid of how long and violent it is, which it is both. Lily Gladstone's fucking amazing.
Well, I haven't seen
show
that one.
Her. Show her in that movie. Show other people in these, like, these, you're still promoting these movies in a sense. Okay, everyone's seen Barbie. Most people have seen Oppenheimer, I guess, but like, still these movies. And like, I constantly watch these awards and I'm like, this is why Republicans hate us. Like, this is why that thing, everyone thinks like, and it's like when you have 15, 20 minutes of time devoted to like Sam Rockwell, who I like, being like, Coleman Domingo, you're my best friend. Like, I like what it's like. This is why people hate liberal people and I hate artsy people. It was so congratulatory. And they didn't show the damn clips.
I don't have any beef with this. I loved it. I thought this was a part of
I'm
like what made
hate
this
in the chat now.
Yeah, exactly. Philip G. Brady, stop the hate. Exactly. Matt May said Danny loves chaos, so this all tracks. Yes, that's true. That was about Al Pacino. But I totally disagree. You know what people want from the Oscars? Who cares what Republicans want? You know what we want? We want to see stars being beautiful, talking about their friendship with other stars. I loved it. They needed more star power. They don't want just two schmoes giving away the award. Bring all 5 out. Make them stand in a semicircle and have them all say their little bits. I think that's a nice way to honor past winners, to be like, see, we didn't forget about you, Michelle Yeoh. We didn't forget.
She gets to present.
I think that's great.
Last year's winner always gets to present.
Yeah, but Sally Field.
Whatever.
No, not whatever. It's good to bring these people back. And then it also provides the opportunity for more amusing moments, like when Tim Robbins was like, Robert De Niro should win this award. I don't care about the rest of you. And Tim Robbins doesn't care. Tim Robbins is tall, huh?
I saw him at a concert. I saw him at a concert in LA and I was like, whew. But and I was closer to the stage than him. I turned around and I was like, who's that tall man? Oh, that's Academy Award winner Tim Robbins. And
tall Tim.
He was standing.
And tall Tim, like, tells no tales.
People must have been standing behind him because he was not in the way back. He was not at the back of the venue. He was actually right. Pretty close to the stage. I was closer. But I was like, man, that sucks. Like when you're standing behind a tall person at a concert, and then when that tall person is Tim Robbins, I don't know.
You don't want to get on his bad side. Let me tell you. I loved it. I thought that was a high point. I didn't feel like it dragged the show at all because there's only four acting categories. So who cares?
Yeah, but it's like you guys complain about how long this goddamn thing is, and then
they're complaining.
Clips. Everyone's complaining. You're complaining. You still went to bed before they announced Best Picture, and they started it an hour early. This takes a long time. This just takes a long time. I got producer brain about this. Showing the clips takes 90 seconds. Each one of those things was 90 seconds, and there was five of them times four. Give me a break. Would have been 20 minutes shorter if they didn't do the speeches and they just did the clips. Come on. People want to see the clips. I
like
the shenanigans
where, like, when Emma Stone won and she came up and, like, Michelle gave the award to Jennifer to give it to Emma, but Sally was like, wait, don't give it yet, or something happened. There was, like, a little awkwardness. I loved that. I thought it was fab. I totally disagree on both points.
I know I'm kind of in the minority about it, but I'm concerned that they're going to do this every year, and it's just going to get more.
I think they should do it every year. Yeah, bring back other winners. Let's have Nicole Kidman on the stage. Let's have Nicole Kidman and Monique.
Let's have Nicole Kidman reenact all of the clips that they were like, okay, we're going to play all the best supporting actor actress clips, but we're just going to have Nicole Kidman doing Sandra Hüller.
Ooh.
Doing, you
now
know.
Now he's got the producer Nicole hat Kidman on.
Doing the anatomy yes. of a false speech.
Oh my gosh. Have her be the dog. Have her be Messi.
Messi was the king of that.
Clearly okay. We all agree Messi was number one best part. Even better than I'm Just Ken.
I'm Just Ken was iconic. It was everything it should have been. It was perfect. So
it was just enough, just enough.
They did a bit where they cut to Messi, the dog, and Messi was clapping, and it was clearly puppet dog arms. Like, the like angle that they shot it, it's like, well, dog's arms don't bend this angle. Like, this dog actor,
yeah, but that
this
was is on the purpose. Best
dog actor I've ever seen, and I know a dog's arms do not move in that direction. And then they showed, and then there was like a behind the scenes clip of like the puppeteer sitting under Messi's seat with the two dog arms doing the little dog clapping thing. And people were posting like, I am heartbroken right now. I can't believe this was fake. And
it's
like,
they were kidding. They're dogs being
dogs' arms don't move that direction.
Dogs don't do that. I love that.
Speaking of the Oscars, you watched two Best Picture nominees this week after the Oscars. You want to share your thoughts on them?
Yes. And I just think it's like so, of course, this is what they do. It's like so annoying how they do it right after the Oscars, where like before the Oscars, you have to pay $26.99 to rent a movie. And after the day after the Oscars, it's free. But so that's why I waited. I'm cheap. I didn't want to pay. We saw The Zone of Interest, rented The Zone of Interest to watch in my home.
Great rental.
It was a movie where I was like, I gotta put my phone down. I can't be scrolling when I'm watching this movie.
Attention must be paid.
And you know, it's everything everyone says it is. It's very uncomfortable. The dread is building. you're like, why is she laughing like that? Why? And
why is this other one in night vision? I don't know.
Yeah. What's funny is like towards the end, and we had no clue because like I didn't have my phone, so I couldn't tell what time, how long had passed or anything. I didn't know, like, maybe there's another hour to this movie. Who knows?
Yeah.
But like, because also I was watching with my husband and he was like, I was like, I think it must be nearing the end. And he was like, no, because you think we're going to see them like get their comeuppance? I was like, no, I don't. I don't think we're going to see that.
No.
Unfortunately. I don't think that, I don't know if that even happened at all in order to show that.
No, that family moved to Argentina.
Yeah. It ends and you're like, wow, I would love to never watch this movie again. I was really annoyed. No, I wasn't annoyed, but I was like, wow, it sucks that this movie ended and now I have to go to bed because I need like at least half an hour of like watching Curb Your Enthusiasm or something in between that and going to bed. I don't want to go to bed fresh off of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so well done, as people probably know. And I don't know, I guess spoilers, but like, it's about a family who lives next door to Auschwitz, like concentration camps. And you don't see any intense violence. You don't see any, it's heavily implied, obviously. And like, same for, I'm pretty sure, sexual assaults. It's like very heavily implied, but you don't see anything. It's just the way it's implied is so, it like sits so heavy on your insides and is just very... Very discomforting.
That's what's great about the movie is like,
yeah,
it's a Holocaust movie, but you never see the Holocaust. It's always on the other side of a wall the entire time. Mm-hmm. And they just live next door to the wall. And
yeah,
I was watching a whole like YouTube breakdown of like the directing and the film and the shot choices. And I was like, oh, this movie's even more brilliant than I thought. It was just because it's like, you're just watching a normal German family go through normal German things, having a birthday party. Getting a new pair of shoes for the kid.
Yeah.
You know, oh, the dad just got a canoe for his birthday. You know, like hanging up the laundry. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're seeing all this stuff. And it's like, you're seeing the mom hang up the laundry in the yard. And you don't see anything. You hear a bunch. You just hear a lot of like mechanical noises and people screaming. And then there's the reverse shot of from the same, you know, just of her from the opposite angle in the same backyard. And you're like, oh, shit. There's a giant chimney burning smoke, and you know what? And then there's a scene that's where they're like talking about, yeah, we can fit more Jews in this oven. This, if we do it like this, and you're like, what the fuck? Oh my god! Yeah, it's
like the logistics. Like the guys, the Nazi dad is like the logistics guy.
Yeah, and it's just like, and like every time they just show a chimney for the rest of the movie, that movie's like, yeah, that's what's happening inside of this chimney. You're not going to see it. You're just going to hear a bit of screaming, bit of yelling, bit of like people crying and stuff. And it's just like, and it's constant and it builds. It's unbelievable.
It's incredible. I
highly recommend watching
it in theater. Genius way of doing it.
I definitely saw it in theater in the middle of the day because I was like, I don't know if like, yeah, I can't come home at 10 p.m. And like, I was glad I had the rest of the day to decompress. It is, yeah, it's like rough. An incredibly troubling and heavy movie. Because of what it implies, like the horrors that it implies, it's all in your mind, all this stuff. And it's not, they actually don't show it, which is at one part, in one way, it makes it more digestible and easy to see. And the other way, it's like, well, you're everything they don't show you, you're going to have to imagine in your mind, which actually might be worse.
And it also makes it so much. It makes it just so much more literal. Like at one point they do show like, I don't know, I forget if he's like the gardener or what, but like this guy like shoveling ash that has seeped over into their yard. And you're just like, oh, that is so, like that makes you want to vom, you know, it's really bad. But it's a great film. Great film. Will I see it again? No. No, thank you. So I watched that. I thought it was great. I mean, honestly, you got to get, in terms of, I don't know. I kind of soured on Oppie throughout award season. I'm kind of like Poor Things and Zone of Interest, I feel, are kind of more unique and interesting to me than Oppie.
I rewatched Oppie last night, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I liked it. I mean, there was definitely...
It held up.
It was definitely... There was a bit of it was like, oh boy, they really are just talking about how brilliant he is for 3 hours. So there was a lot of that, especially with, oh my God, how paper thin the Emily Blunt and Florence Pugh characters are. I was like, this is rough. Like, good for Emily Blunt. Yeah. Like, she made chicken salad out of chicken shit with this one, getting an Oscar nomination for basically just like crying and smoking cigarettes and being like, you don't love me.
Martini.
Yeah, and drinking a martini. Yeah, exactly. And be like, you're brilliant, but you don't love me. Kind of performance, and like doing really nothing. But then, and then even men too, like it's one of the, like, even men are like crying at Oppie's feet and being like, you're a brilliant man. You're a brilliant man.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like, this movie fucking rips, man. Like, it kind of moves. I actually felt it was like moved shorter. Like, it felt faster than 3 hours. And the last hour, that bomb explodes two hours into a 3 hour movie. Mm-hmm. And there's still like an hour left. And I remember being like, oof, man, a lot of stuff going on. I thought the last hour was pretty fun. People yelling at each other.
RDJ in
different rooms. RDJ, yeah, yeah. So I liked it. Like, I think I'm going to rewatch Killers of the Flower Moon at some point this week, too. Like, I need to rewatch. I still need to rewatch the 3 hour long historical epics.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably a better made movie, but Oppenheimer was pretty good. I don't know if I'm going to revisit it all the time, but.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not in a rush to rewatch Oppie, and I still need to see Killers. And yeah, then I saw American Fiction, which stars Jeffrey Wright. And it was like very different from what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought it was pretty meh. I really wasn't like, it was a movie where I was like, I don't need to put my phone away for this one. I'm very comfortable scrolling during this movie. Speaking of paper thin female characters, I really thought the actress who was in, yeah, she really deserved much more. It felt like she really had nothing to do except be like, why are you being mean to me? For some reason, she's into him. Like, because he was kind of a prick. So,
she brought like a lot of like personality into the role with a kind of a nothing role. And I was like, well, this woman's like so much better of an actress than like how it's
I thought
written.
Her scenes with, with her scenes with Sterling K. Brown was so much more interesting because like, and I get his character was sort of like, I don't know if he was a misanthrope, but you know, he was kind of like going through a lot of issues and very serious
was a rake.
And blah, blah, blah.
He was a rake.
Yeah. But I don't know. I thought the mix, that relationship between him and his girlfriend, I was like, I would leave his ass and like not, and she kind of does, but like, yeah, I was not into that.
The movie's a bit
and I just thought it was very, sorry.
I was going to say the movie's a bit surprising just because like you think by watching the trailers, it's one thing. It's more of this kind of like satirical take on like the premise that it sets up, which is like, I don't even know how to describe this in a correct way as a white person. I'm sorry. But like what, I mean, it's very much from like an African-American perspective of like what kind of art from our culture is like valid. And is there stuff that, you know, really is like melodramatic about our culture. Like this whole book, an original book that this was made up of, that the movie was based on, was a whole takedown of the book Precious, or remember the movie Precious?
Push, based on the novel Sapphire by Precious.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so that book is based on that. Novel like, by hey, Sapphire. Like, yeah, anyways, like, It was like a takedown of that book, being like this book like overly dramatizes like black suffering or like black inner city suffering in a way that's like very palatable for white people. And this movie kind of investigates that through a writer who's like, I don't want to write, I'm black, but I don't want to write this type of work, right? And it presents a lot of interesting ideas, particularly about how white people react to African American culture. Very interesting, very interesting ideas. But anyways, that's what the trailer is. The movie itself is like this like family dramedy about something completely different about his mom and his girlfriend and his brother or whatever. I saw it in theaters. Everyone was like cracking up, including me. I liked it a lot, but also
I definitely had some laugh out loud
moments.
I liked
it, but I just like didn't, I don't know.
I felt like it was two movies. Yeah. I was like, I'd see either of these, but when they're spliced together, I'm getting a little whiplash. Like, I hate them, but I'm totally into the like aging parent, like theme. I think that's like so ripe and very underutilized. Like we don't see that a lot. So I thought that was very fascinating. Wanted to see more about like how siblings deal with it. But I was like, as soon as we were getting into that, then it was like, it got back to the part where he's pretending to be a different writer, like a convict writer. And it's like more funny. So I was like, I don't know. It just didn't, it was like fine. I thought it was fine. It was good.
It felt like an Alexander Payne movie, and there wasn't also an Alexander Payne movie nominated for Best Picture. So I was like,
"But I thought
we got two Alexander Payne movies nominated this year." Both, I thought it was deserving, but it was like I think it's ultimately kind of like one of these like more a little bit more forgettable. One of my frustrations with the movie, and maybe that's on my part because I'm like white and I don't understand this. Is like Yeah, like we're just with this movie, we're like, hey, listen, we're idiots here. So yeah. Just like if we're wrong, sorry. But like, I felt that it kind of came close to making a statement about what it wanted to say. And then it kind of like, it has this, like, there's these kind of opposing characters in it. There's the Jeffrey Wright character who's the main character, and then there's the Issa Rae character who is this very famous young writer who has written this type of book that the monk, the Jeffrey Wright character, really despises. That's just like, and they're kind of at odds with each other. And then there's this moment towards the end of the movie where the two of them are finally like in a room together, and he kind of is like, hey, do you think this like this stuff that you write is good? Because I think it's like, could be like hurtful to like the perception of our people. This is kind of essentially where he's going with it. And like, I think, I don't know, I thought I was like building up. I was like, oh, we're finally going to like hash out these two different opposing ideas.
Yeah.
Not that either one of them is right or wrong, but we're going to hash it out. Like these two different styles of art. And I just felt like it came close to saying something without saying something. And maybe that was the point, too, was like, well, actually, both of these things are valid and both of them get to exist in the world. If it's art, like, hell, people.
Right. And these people might never agree. And these like, people might
never
fine.
Agree. And the audiences, like, the audiences don't have to be the same for them, too. So I don't know. That's what I kind of left the movie questioning is like, this movie came close to saying something. I don't know if it did, and I don't know if that was the point, and I'm just thinking about it. So that's kind of how I left it, and I still, I don't know, that was like the final taste in my mouth with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was like truly just a fine. I do want to, a couple comments in the chat from Philip G. Will we get the I'm Just Brett, Hey Julie single this year? And then Matt May thinks Brett is more of a What Was I Made For vibe.
It's more of a, I'm more of a I'm Just Brett. Look, I am not Gen Z, people. I do not understand why that song is popular. What Was I Made For? I do not understand the entire very popular genre of music, which is people whispering. Billie Eilish, God bless her. God bless her two Oscars.
She's got a great voice.
God bless
She's everything an icon. She's 22. Does.
Everything she does. God bless her.
She's great.
Wish her the best.
Love her. Yeah.
Fantastic. Every song is her just whispering.
Cool. No, it's not.
I don't know what Gen Z loves about like whispering. Like, is it like an ASMR thing? But every song from like a young person is like whispering, and it's like, cool.
Yeah.
Give me old people belting. You want Give some me belting. Frank Sinatra.
He said, "Let's get Audra I'll McDonald do in it here.
My Let her way."
And Philip G said Danny for sure would have her song written by Diane Warren. And I actually find that a little insulting because Diane Warren always loses. She is a loser according to the Oscars. She's always nominated and has never won. But her song, I love her songs. I think she's an incredible songwriter. Give her an award. Why hasn't she won yet?
What happened to the Lifetime Achievement Award?
Yeah, what happened to that?
What happened to them being like...
They had to cut it for messy clapping.
For the dog.
Which we loved.
For the dog. No, they cut it for the speeches. Anyways.
Yeah, okay. The speeches.
We have two more topics.
Yeah, we have two more topics.
Danielle, please, we touched on this last week. Danielle, please, for the love of God, explain to me what is happening with the royal family.
Okay, so last week I was kind of like, I was the grump last week because I was like, I don't know about Kate. I just hope she's doing well because I thought it was like a medical thing. And yes, as a human being, I'm like, if a woman is having surgery and then is just kind of like out of the public eye, I think that's a good thing. I think we shouldn't be speculating. But then all this drama happened with like a picture that was photoshopped, and then the AP issued a kill notice on the Photoshop, and the Royal Palace was like, it's Kate's fault. That idiot. And I think that, yeah, she's probably, there's something afoot. There's definitely something afoot. Something is rotten in the city of London. They've locked her up in the Tower of London.
So, who is the Duchess of Quinzel Wanzel Wuzzle Wuzzleberry?
Okay, so Lady Chumley is like the, you know where Lady Mary Chumley. she's the new Kate. Like they people are saying the palace is planting stories about her being like, who is this beautiful woman who is single and perhaps fertile? like because they're setting her up to be like, Kate is divorcing William, but look at this beautiful new woman that he's dating. That's what people think is happening, that they're gonna get divorced, but he's already got his new queen waiting in the wings.
I've fallen deep into this.
Lady Mary Chumley.
Marchioness of Cholmondeley, which is pronounced Chumley.
Chumley. She's your chum. And then in the midst of all of this drama, Meghan Markle, America's princess, famously a podcaster, decided to start a new lifestyle brand, which is exactly what she should be doing. This is exactly what she should be doing. And I'm proud of her. And I will buy probably at least one product that she sells. And everyone's just like, it's just really funny that like Kate, who she famously hated, they were feuding, I guess. Or maybe they weren't, but the media made it out like they were, is missing. And Meghan's like, well, I'm selling jam. So yeah. Like, good luck with that.
Is it like food products? Because you said you were going to buy something, and I have questions.
It could be like cookware, spoons.
Just everything. Okay.
Scented candles. She's a YouTuber.
Stuff. Okay, I get it. Yeah.
Yes. Well, she's an influencer. She's going to be, and it's her lifestyle brand. She did have this before. Before she even met Harry, she had this, she was a blogger. She had a website called The Tig, which was like very before its time, like, here's what I'm eating this week. Here's my flowers.
Did she tweet for Tig Notaro one day? As like a little...
She should have. But so that's the update with that. Now on to more serious matters.
No, hold on. As an American, I just got to say, like, I've fallen in the hole about this. Like, where is she? Where did she go? Is she dead? Who's Mary Chumley?
Like, Lady Mary.
Rose Hanbury.
Oh, her name's Rose?
Her name is Rose Hanbury.
Lady Rose, yeah.
This is just wild. And like, I mean,
this is them earning their keep, honestly. They should be giving us drama like this. That's what they, and you remember, I'm in the constitutional monarchy, so they're still on my money. So I, as a taxpayer, deserve a little drama. Drama, drama as long as Kate isn't actually in like peril and like had a bad surgery or something.
Okay. I'm terrified to talk about the next story.
Brett's scared, but I'm brave. And so I think that we need to discuss, just because it's so crazy, we need to discuss Boeing airplanes and how like parts keep falling off. And there was a whistleblower who was like, you guys, Boeing is not, we should not be flying in Boeing airplanes. They're falling apart. And they killed him, allegedly. And his friend was like, he was saying, if I die, it's not suicide. And now everyone's like, well, not everyone. It's reported he's died what seemed like a suicide. But he said himself, if I die, it's not a suicide. It was Boeing.
No,
like people are just out here killing people. Mercenaries.
I'm terrified. Boeing literally just killed a man. With no repercussions. No repercussions because he can hurt their stock price. Like, that is just happening in America right now. And Lady Rose Chumley is doing nothing about it.
I just think we have a platform, Brett. So we needed to at least acknowledge this. and say, you should be flying in an Airbus. This not fly Boeing.
Has been going on for, but you don't have a choice.
No, you should have a choice.
But like,
maybe you should drive instead.
Yeah, I know. But like, you go on a plane. Like when you buy a ticket, does it say what plane it's going to be? And they can also just change it. They could be like, oh yeah, well, yeah, this plane's broken today. We have this Airbus that we got. We need it for something else. Lady Chumley needs to go from Devonshire to Cork.
Well, but, as the news was coming out about the fact that the whistleblower died, he said that if he died, it was not suicide, he was killed. Then two other Boeing planes had to like make emergency landings because panels were flying off and doors. This all happened within the span of like an hour yesterday. That's why I was like, oh my God,
this guy died. And they were like, this guy died from self-inflicted wounds. This guy definitely committed suicide. And then immediately like his family and friends were like, he didn't. Like he literally talked about how much he's not trying to do this right now. Sorry.
It's like just the most obvious.
Don't do, like, if you got a whistleblower who's out there saying, like, yo, I'm not going to do this to myself, you got to find a different way to do it. You got to be like, hey, go walk down that street. There's a grand piano. Oh, don't worry about the grand piano we're installing above. Don't worry about that grand piano.
I mean, especially because I just rewatched Michael Clayton. It's just
corporate, so crazy. Corporate murder. That is the best picture. Michael Clayton. I'm terrified of this. I don't want to get killed by Boeing. I don't want to get killed in a Boeing plane. I don't want to like jinx something here. Something actually, a great milestone actually happened a few days ago. There has not been a death as a result of, I'm sure people have like had a heart attack on them. Like, there's not been a death on like an American flight from an American carrier in like 15 years, as a result of like the plane crashing or doing shit. Like other planes have crashed, but like those are from whatever, other airlines that, you know, are from other places in the world. And it's literally been so many flights. The distance is a light year. There's been a light year of travel distance by American originated carriers without a death. It's incredible. At the same time, there's only two companies that make planes. There's Boeing and there's Airbus. This, like, you can't just like, I'll get on a Ford. I'll get on a whatever, Tesla. They literally do not know how to make electric planes. They just, like, that's something that, like, even if we can snap our fingers and everyone could be driving an electric car and every car and bus and tractor and thing with, you know, wheels can be electric. They're like, we don't really know how to make a plane electric because the batteries would be so heavy and we do not know how to store enough energy to make a plane do the thing a plane does. Planes are going to be on fossil fuels for like hundreds of years.
I just want to do a quick fact check from Brian in the chat. You can filter by plane type now on certain sites. So you can filter out.
They better have that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this needs to be investigated. You know, there's a lot going on in the world, but I would say we should, like, what's Mayor Pete doing about this? Because this needs to be investigated by the transportation person. Okay. That's it. That's all we had to talk about. We did it.
Cool. Well, if I'm not here next week.
It sounds like there's a clown Boeing car in the back of here.
It was what?
My back. It sounds like there's a clown car going through your backyard.
There is. I live in a neighborhood where there are many independent business owners who have a little cart. They have a little cart. You got snacks in the cart. Okay. And they have a horn to be like, yo.
It sounds like a little honk. Yeah.
I'm on your street right now. Who wants some snacks? I get to buy from one of these people.
Oh,
I
should, yes.
But I don't want a bag of chips. I don't want like a bag of chips. It's 11:05 in the morning. I don't want a bag of chips right now.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
No. Save it for a snack in the air. Chips or pretzels. Thank you all so much for listening, for being here in the chat. What a fun chat we had today. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We will be back next week, most likely.
I love it.
We'll be 1 week closer to Big Brother and more Survivor talk. Bye, Julie.
Bye, Julie.